Stand by satellite. Coming to you in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain. But you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind. Driving you mad. You've been living in a dream world. This is the world as it exists today.
The only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. They'll say that because of the dangers that we face in the world, we need more authority. We need more power.
Surveillance is at an all-time high. The Constitution is being violated every day. Your gun rights are disappearing day by day. Learn how to fight back legally and responsibly. With your host, Steve Gates, on A Call to Rights. Call in now, 602-277-5369, or nationally, 1-866-536-1100.
So, as we set out to defeat the divisive forces that would take freedom away, I want to say those fighting words for everyone within the sound of my voice, from my cold, dead hands.
Here's your host, Steve Gates. Always refuse to be a victim.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Freedom here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. Proud to be the humble host, Steve Gates, behind the microphone at Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. For the last 12 years or so, providing you, in our opinion, with some of the most amazing guests about our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Second Amendment, and so much more about what goes on behind the scenes in American politics and surveillance. I want to welcome and thank all of our Facebook Live audience around the nation and around the world, as indeed our producer, LJ, will do her best, as she always does, to get your questions to the forefront of this particular radio show. Why not call yourself? The Call to Rights hotline has and always will continue to be this, 602-277-5369, and let's light it up nationally at 1-866-536-1100. Check us out often at calltorights.com on this beautiful, for those of us here in Arizona, and hopefully your weather is good, just as good around the nation, but here in Arizona, as we celebrate this particular day, Sunday, February 16, 2020. Always great guests on the radio show, but first an important message from me. The main theme of the radio show has and always will continue to be this. Always refuse to be a victim. In our opinion, a victim is simply someone with no options. Always fight back legally and responsibly. And secondly, an equally important message, too, that we have been giving out for so long and not on deaf ears or to deaf ears and a blind audience, not at all. And that is that never take the fact that freedom is not free and never be a spectator in the fight for freedom. Three great guests today, ladies and gentlemen. Just a few moments, we'll be introducing you to Hal Markovitz. He is an author of a novel called Painting the White House, and I thought I'd lighten things up here on this particular radio show as we celebrate President's Day tomorrow and particularly this weekend. You'll find Hal to be a phenomenal guest and also a scholar on history and many other things that you may not know about the White House, and we'll talk to him about his novel. At the bottom of the hour, we're hoping to hear from Gene Ho, President Trump's photographer. Yes, indeed. He's written a book called Trumpography, a great guest coming to the Valley of the Sun, and a brand new sponsor to the radio show, a good friend of mine from high school days, but equally important, a man who knows so much about the realty world. Yes, the firehouse realtor himself, Phil Ramos with eXp Realty. But ladies and gentlemen, as we continue here on the Call to Rights radio show, a brief bio of our first guest, Hal Markovitz. Hal Markovitz has spent more than 40 years as a journalist and an author, a graduate of Temple University in Philadelphia. Hal's reporting career started in 1976 at the Pottsville Republican, a daily newspaper in Pennsylvania's Cold Region. He joined the staff of the Doylestown Intelligencer in 1978 and the Allentown Morning Call in 1982, both newspapers based in Pennsylvania. During his newspaper career, Hal won awards for news reporting and column writing from the Pennsylvania Newspaper Publishers Association. And it's a privilege and honor to welcome you, Hal, to the Call to Rights radio show, talking about a book, and a topic, your book, Painting the White House. Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well here. How's the weather over there in Philly?
Well, I've been listening to the weather reports in Phoenix, and it sounds terrific there. And right now in suburban Philadelphia, it is, I believe, 38 degrees.
Wow, but getting warmer and the promise of, well, I guess Punxsutawney Phil did his thing back on Groundhog Day. But, hey, you know something? It's really interesting, Hal. I'm from that region, and, hey, we always love what goes on back there. But equally important, we're pointing our kind of our compass here at the White House. Tell us a little bit about Painting the White House, the novel that you've written. And I think it's important that we lighten things up a little bit as we move into President's Weekend. Describe the book, Painting the White House, and the fictional president, Abraham Robbins.
Well, the book is, as you said, a novel. It's a fictional story. It's kind of a funny book about an ordinary house painter who is hired by the First Lady to come in and paint the White House. And so he shows up one morning with his ladder and his buckets of paint and his brushes and everything he needs. But he soon finds himself involved in all the intrigues and weird stories and schemes and heartbreaks and everything that goes on in the White House.
Yes.
And he's in the middle of it all. And eventually he becomes a confidant to the President Robbins, the President of the United States.
That's interesting. You know, it's amazing. But you go on in your book and talk about things that I want to spoil the book for the audience, but you talk about the First Lady. She likes to hang out in biker bars. The first daughter has been kicked out of college. So what you're talking about in your novel, in your fictional novel, is something that many people may not realize, that there's some funny stories that you're going to tell us about real presidents. But continue for a moment or two about the book itself, because that's exactly what we need. We need a little bit of levity, don't you think, in these very difficult political times, no matter what side of the equation you are, Democrat or Republican.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, these are very dour times politically. Lots of partisanship in Washington. We have a presidential election just starting.
You bet.
It's only going to get worse. So why not sit back and have a good laugh at it all, right?
I think you're so right. Because amazing, truth and fiction, or whatever they say, sometimes fiction is like truth or truth is like fiction, whichever it is. But it's interesting. So give us a description a little more about this book so people can learn something about you and again, your writing style, because this I find very fascinating, Painting the White House, a novel by Hal Markovitz.
Well, as I said, the painter, he shows up and gets involved in, you know, all the intrigues going on. Very early in the book, he walks in on the president's daughter and finds out that she's heartbroken. She's just been kicked out of college, basically for not going to class.
That's a good reason, you think. There you go.
And she doesn't know how to tell her mother and her father, and she's afraid a national scandal will you know, erupt. He encounters the chief of staff of the White House, the chief of staff, the president's chief of staff, and he walks in and he finds him dangling from a chandelier. The fellow's trying to take his own life.
Oh, how sad.
So the president, or the house painter, saves his life, and he sits down and has a long talk with the chief of staff, and he finds out everything that's troubling the guy. And it's just one room to another. All this weird, strange stuff goes on.
Interesting story. We're coming up on the break here just a moment, Hal, but again, I appreciate your time. And I want to ask you straight up, one of my favorite television shows, and I'm sure many people that sat at the edge of their seat watching all of the Kevin Spacey, House of Cards, Robin Wright, of course, in that, and so many other great actors and actresses. But describe that. I mean, your book came out long before The House of Cards, because I find that very addictive to watch on television.
Well, the book has gotten a new printing, so, yeah, it did come out, you know, a few years ago. And I'd like to think maybe House of Cards and maybe some of the other dramas about the White House may have borrowed a little kind of, you know, the drama that I tried to throw in there.
Well, Hal, when we come back from this break, we're going to jump into so many questions that I have from what you've given us here and in an email, which I find fascinating. Ladies and gentlemen, Painting the White House. We're talking about President's Weekend, President's Day, that is, more specifically. Hal Markovitz has written a wonderful novel. But wait till you hear the answers to some of the questions when we talk about the real history of the White House. Some things that I think will make you laugh, make you cry, depending on your political situation, whether you're Republican or Democrat. It's time to come together and just look at what it is that's all about the White House. And then I'll ask Hal at the end of the interview, just how many gallons of paint do you think it really takes to paint the White House? I'm Steve Cates, the proud host of the 12-year show, guaranteeing us nothing. The Call to Rights radio show here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. And ladies and gentlemen, on Facebook Live, we thank you for watching. Your questions and comments, too. Our producer, LJ, are very much in need here at this radio show and always welcome. We'll be right back after these important commercial announcements that keep the Call to Rights radio show alive and well. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Cates.
If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. Great words from the Federalist, essays from Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and James Madison. At 18 minutes after the hour, we welcome Hal Markovitz, author of a great novel, and so much insight into some of the things and ruminations that have gone on in the White House over the history of the United States. Hal, this is fascinating. We're going to have to be quick here, but I have a couple of questions for you. Which branch of government is responsible for eliminating the mice that occasionally inhabit the White House? Obscure, but an interesting answer, I'm sure, from you.
Yes, and the answer is no one is quite sure. What happened was, this goes back to when Jimmy Carter was in the White House in the 1970s, and I believe it was 1977, a mouse died in an inside wall in the Oval Office. And this... mouse, the odor kind of came to the attention of the leader of the free world, okay? So he had his staff call up the General Services Administration and tell them to get the mouse out of the wall. But the GSA, the General Services Administration, wouldn't do the job, claiming it was responsible for maintenance of the White House inside the room.
You got to be kidding.
So then Carter's staff called the National Park Service. But that agency wouldn't do the job either, and they said their job was they were responsible for the White House grounds outside the walls. So
typical government, huh?
Now, the mouse was removed, right. But it's unclear how Carter managed to pull that off. Wow. So the answer to the question is, we don't know.
We don't know. Interesting as we talk about what's going on in the bureaucracy of the United States government. But Hal, there's so many questions here, and I'm reading these, of course, to our audience out there that you sent me, and I think they're fantastic. And here's the next question. Which president is believed to have smoked a joint on the roof of the White House?
Well, it wasn't the president.
Okay. Then I read it wrong. Excuse me. Let me retract that.
Right.
Who is believed to have smoked a joint on the roof of the White House?
It was
now
a
I'm incriminating a president. Okay, go ahead.
It was a visitor to the White House, and it was, again, during the Carter administration, and it seems to have been Willie Nelson.
Wow. See, I would have thought that.
Okay. Who evidently found his way up to the roof of the White House where he smoked a joint. Now, it wasn't unusual for, stars and pop singers and, you know, those type of folks to go to the White House. And the kind of the trend really started during the Ford administration when Susan and Steve Ford, the president's children, saw the opportunity here as just one good opportunity to party. So they invited a lot of rock stars to the White House, the Beach Boys, Peter Frampton, George Harrison, Billy Preston, and it continued during the Carter years when Willie dropped by and apparently smoked a doobie up on the roof. And kind of the funny thing about it is, I believe it was 2015, the voters of Washington, D.C. legalized recreational pot.
Wow.
So if Willie had done it in 2015, there would have been no big deal about it. It would have been cool.
Right. Interesting stories, Hal Markovitz again. And Hal, what's your website so people know that? I want to make sure we give that out.
You can find out about the book and how to order it and also to read some of these strange White House stories at the website, which is paintingthewhitehouse.com.
Pretty appropriate website. I appreciate that. Who's the only president to have been married in the White House? This is interesting.
this goes back to Grover Cleveland, which is well over 100 years ago. And he married a woman named Frances Folsom. It was in 1886.
Hmm.
And at the time, Grover Cleveland was 49 years old, and Frances Folsom was 21 years old. And the entertainment at the reception was provided by the U.S. Marine Band, which was under the direction of John Philip Sousa himself.
Wow, great stuff.
And one of the songs they played during the reception of this September to May romance was from the operetta The Mikado. I believe that was Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes.
And the song was, "Oh, He's Going to Marry Yum Yum." Hmm.
Oh, my
gosh. I guess he did.
No, that's pretty cool. That's like amazing trivia here for Hal Markovitz says, which is totally amazing. Here we go to another one quickly. Which president charged members of Congress to eat at the White House? This is interesting.
Well, we're going to go back to Jimmy Carter again.
That was, okay. He was
that was Jimmy Carter. And in the prior years, the president would invite members of the Congress over for working breakfasts, working lunches, whatever, and they would sit around the dining room and talk about legislation and how things were going and that sort of thing. And Carter did the same thing, but he charged every member of Congress $4.75 for their meals in the White House.
That's amazing. See, I never knew those things about Jimmy Carter. I realized that he was extremely frugal. And if you look at the china that was developed for each administration, his looked very simplistic. Obviously, what the point is, he was extremely frugal. And even to this day, I guess, he's still alive, but I think he has some health issues. He's well in his 90s, correct?
Yes. Well, he's still there, and he's hanging on. And you're right, he was very frugal. There's another story about him that he insisted on keeping the White House thermostat set at 65 degrees.
Jeez. Wow.
It's a bit chilly.
You know, let's talk about a president that many of the people on this radio show, I mean, we lean obviously more to the conservative side, but we're open to conversation with all people that have obviously the civility of wanting to engage in conversation, and that's always everybody out there who calls. I would like to know a little bit stories. How about an interesting story about President Ronald Reagan?
This is kind of a funny story. Well, there's a couple funny stories about Reagan that I ran across. One of them has to do with he once got stuck in the White House elevator.
Oh, really?
And I guess it, you know, that happens. But the problem was that when he was in the elevator and waiting for the repairman to show up, he was separated from the military aide who carries the decoding device.
The nuclear football.
The nuclear football that enables the president to launch the nuclear strike.
Wow.
So while he was in the elevator, if the Soviet Union had attacked us, we would have lost.
That's amazing.
The elevator was stuck.
Could you imagine the news
the device.
Right on CNN or Fox News, whatever we had at the time, probably more CNN was there. Imagine saying that. Well, it wouldn't be anything to really report because the launch codes are on the other side of the locked elevator doors. That's incredible stuff. We have limited time here, but always really appreciate your time, Hal. Talk about Lyndon Johnson. I understood from some friends of mine that worked in that administration that he'd like to swim nude in the White House pool. Is there some rumors to that? Or also, you have a story about him checking, the lights in the bathrooms. That's interesting.
Yes. First of all, he did enjoy skinny dipping in the White House swimming pool. And that's, I guess that was his thing.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
He would no need for the presidential bathing suit.
But
he was also sort of on the frugal side himself. And at night, he would wander around the White House turning lights off in the offices and the rooms and whatever.
Okay.
And in order to turn the lights off in the women's restrooms, he wouldn't go in them, but he would open the door and reach in and flick the light switch off. But he would never announce what he was doing, and he would often turn the lights off on women on staff members who were using the bathrooms at the time.
Wow. talk about bizarre stuff. No, that's incredible. I guess that's just by happenstance, I guess, whatever. But no, that's fascinating, Hal. I mean, you go into so many other stories, but let me ask you straight up. We got a few more minutes, maybe two, and that's a short time. What is probably one of the most amazing stories that you've collected over the time about something about a president in the White House to date? Let me hear that answer as we close.
Well, one of my favorite stories has to do with Elvis Presley.
Ah, this is good.
And back in the 70s, the early 70s, Elvis, living in Memphis at the time, he was a police buff. And by that I mean he collected badges and belt buckles and
yes.
paraphernalia from police departments. And he had his eye on a Drug Enforcement Administration badge. He wanted this DEA badge. So he made some inquiries and he found out the only way you can get a DEA badge is to be a DEA agent.
Makes sense.
And, of course, Elvis wasn't going to walk away from his rock and roll career and,
nope.
you know, enroll in DEA agent school or whatever it took. But he gets the idea that maybe the president can deputize him as a DEA agent and he'll get a badge. So he calls his guys together and he tells them he wants to go to Washington, he wants to go to the White House, and he wants to ask Nixon to deputize him as a DEA agent.
And we only have about a minute and a half here, so I
all right, well, I'll mm-hmm. run up to the end. So they do it, they fly up to Washington, they go in there, they get to the gate of the White House, the story goes around the White House, and they decide to do this, and they get some time with Nixon. Nixon deputizes Elvis, makes him a DEA agent, and in return for this favor, Elvis gives Nixon a gun,
which
he had brought into the White House.
He brought a gun in the White House.
He brought a gun into the White House.
This is amazing.
And I can imagine trying to bring a gun into the White House in this age. But the Secret Service did look it over and decided it was safe. It wasn't loaded. So
here, Mr. President, here's a gun. Right, that's incredible. So I think you said to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that even Nixon himself, is it true that he said, well, who the hell is that guy?
Right, that's kind of a funny postscript.
Elvis was. This
is a story after all this goes on and Elvis leaves, Nixon turns to his aides and says, he really didn't know who that guy was. He knew he was some kind
incredible.
Of a singer, and his daughters listened to his music. But
thank you, Hal.
Who's the king of rock and roll? Right?
We're about out of time. We'll have you back. Hal Markovitz, Painting the White House. We have Gene Ho, President Trump's photographer, coming up next here on A Call to Rights with me, Steve Case.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Case.
Influence is no government. The great words of the first president of the United States, George Washington, as we move on through time and space, 35 minutes after the hour. A fast-moving program with amazing guests. Gene Ho is returning to Phoenix and this area, and we'll be doing 8 different speaking events from March the 10th through the 17th. Gene was President Trump's personal photographer before and during the 2016 presidential campaign, whose best-selling book, Trumpography, is not only being banned in bookstores, but is one of the most, on the Internet, one of the most censored of all the Trump books. You, ladies and gentlemen, can learn so much more about this great person, Gene Ho, and his amazing books and what he's doing here and speaking about freedom by going to trump-ography.com. Gene Ho, welcome to the Call to Write Show. It's been a long time, my brother. How are you today?
Yes. Well, thank you very much for having me on, and always great to talk with you.
Yes,
what,
Gene.
What a great time to be in, right?
Absolutely.
You got Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
And we're getting ready for a landslide in 2020.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you watch and read about things like on the Drudge Report, I know there's been a little change in my opinion of how valid I think and how accurate some of that information is.
I agree.
Isn't it amazing? We see a potential ticket to try to beat the president with Michael Bloomberg and, yes, Hillary Clinton. What say you on this? We got to talk about that. Of course, that's not something we want to see, but let's hear what Gene Ho has to say.
Well, you know, here's the thing. All of us welcome a do-over from last year, or 2016. But I tell you this, America is ready this time because we are no longer the silent majority. People in America are now speaking up for what they believe, and they're backed. They are backed by what Trump has done for these last 3 years.
Absolutely.
So we're all ready for it, and we're going to speak up and be loud and proud for our president.
You bet. And for people who don't know this, the president, of course, is coming here to the Valley of the Sun this coming week. And I'm sure, what, Gene, that'll be a sold-out crowd, if it hasn't already been, with thousands of people at the Arizona State Fairgrounds, an event that is so amazing as we move our president, hopefully, to, and successfully to, another re-election, him and Vice President Pence. But I want to hear about you and your relationship with the president, because this is something I always talk about, Gene, with you, and we've done this a few times, and we're grateful for your time. Talk about the real man, President Trump, because you were his photographer. I see the amazing pictures. Describe this man. How did you get so close to the President of the United States? I'm sure it wasn't easy, but your skills, sure, again, I'm sure got you, of course, the main vote there to be the guy.
Yes, and you know what? The thing is with it is everyone always wants to know about the real Donald Trump. First of all, he is perhaps the most genuine person that you can meet. He's a very nice person, but on the same token, he's a very, very, very difficult boss to work for.
Absolutely.
And that's what we want. That's what we want. In America, we want someone that's going to take charge of things and not let his employees or the people in the country to walk all over him.
That's
so
right.
Trump was an amazing person, but also he was a very tough boss to work for. And that's why he's so successful. People that work for tough bosses want a tough boss if they want the company or the country to go in the right direction.
Absolutely. And, you know, both of us are New Yorkers, and I don't need to apologize, nor do you, Gene. I mean, our style might be a little different, and maybe some people, we respect how they think and feel, but New Yorkers are New Yorkers, and that's not an excuse for being rude or anything like that, but you describe it. I mean, just like you and I mean, we're kind of people that can take a little bit of abuse and maybe give it back too. And I think the president sometimes is misunderstood, and a lot of people seem to get very upset. You know, I don't know if I agree with maybe the intensity of the tweets, but the point is that the president does. But simply this, that's a whole different type of personality, correct?
Right. And of course, you know, we are both from New York.
Yes.
And you know what? So we do things a little bit different sometimes from the general public.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, well, whatever we're doing, are we getting results? And the thing is, Trump is getting results. He's making a difference in the country.
Absolutely. You know, Gene, this is fascinating, but describe him. I mean, you've been on his aircraft. I mean, you've been around him. The book. Describe the book so people can understand more about what that's all about and how to get that.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for plugging the website. It's trump-ography.com.
Yes, absolutely.
But basically, everyone thought that it was going to be a book all about pictures, and there are pictures there. There's some really rare pictures. Trump's first rally with only 50 people in there. But the point is, they're mostly stories about how Donald Trump really is, how he really is in real life, and how he dignifies those people that he's around. If you're talking with him, he's one of the few people of that caliber that will actually sit there, look at you, ask questions, and also remember past conversations that you had. He's a wonderful person to be around.
You know, this is interesting. One of our regular listeners here, Dan, is sending me a message here on my own phone, which I appreciate him. He wants to know, and I think this is right, Dan talks about how many of the precinct committeeman slots are vacant, and that President Trump knows that. I wanted you to address the importance of people becoming precinct committeemen so that we can have a more solid, you know, more solidarity and win, because the power's in numbers. What say you, Gene Ho?
Well, first of all, I am coming up to Arizona and working with many people there to try to fill those positions.
Good.
But the most important thing is, never, ever discount what we as individuals can do. We all have a big role in it. We all have a big role in it. As big or as small, every position is important. And your caller in there is correct. What we need to do in America is each one of us says, what can we do in our own power to make America great?
Yes, you're right.
That's what Trump did. Mm-hmm. He led the way for all of us to become leaders ourselves.
Gene, time runs out here, and I'd love to have you for an hour, but I promise one thing. Last time you and I, our schedules didn't meet up, but this time I'm going to make an effort and a big one, because I'd like to shake your hand. And again, thank you for what you do. But let's talk briefly in the minute or so that we have left with you today. March 11th, that is an evening with Gene Ho and Christine Ong. That'll be what, in Scottsdale? And then some of the other locations. Just describe it briefly that you're coming, of course. But this is something that you pack the house, and describe some of these events.
The best way to describe it is a one-man MAGA rally. So basically, I go down
That's
there,
great.
Talk to people, and encourage them to go out and play their part in our making our role in America great. So we have to go out there. We have to be active. And by showing our support for Donald Trump, it's going to inspire other people also to not remain silent.
Absolutely. You know, it's such a short time here to the election day, and let's never get complacent. I mean, we say this, Gene, you can say it better than I do, because everybody's effort is important here. But let's never get on the side of getting lazy and just thinking that this is a slam dunk. There are many forces out there that want to defeat this particular president. That's obvious. And obviously, we'd like to see him become reelected, and we'll do everything we can. Gene, we've got about a minute. We give you the closing words. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can learn so much more about Gene Ho and his great book and so much about him, Trump-ography.com. Let's end out with your response to that as the clock runs out.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show once again. But remember, I'm going to be up there in a couple of weeks, and we'd love to see it. Last time I was up there, I drew crowds of 200, 300 people per event. Come on out, meet me. And let's talk about Trump and what we can do to make America great.
Let's try to squeeze Antonio in. Antonio, you're on with Gene Ho. We've got about a minute and a half. Take the time and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm glad I found your show. It's a great show.
Thank you.
Wanted to make a comment exactly to what you were talking about. I think it's voting in this day and age is no longer enough. And I truly believe, and I'm taking steps myself, that each one of us have to become activists. We have to get involved. We have to call people, our politicians, local politicians especially, and join a group, whether it's a Second Amendment group or some kind of community group, and get organized, because that's what the left is doing, and that's how they're able to ban books like your guest.
Thank you, Antonio.
That's my message for the day.
I appreciate your time. Hope you'll join us in future shows here. Gene Ho, thank you so much for being part of the Call to Rights audience here. We've been doing this for 12 years. We don't make a profit doing this. I know many people would say, why the hell not? But the truth of the matter is, it's power about what we believe in, and we'll continue to fight. Gene Ho, thank you for being an exceptional American, and thank you for your message. I'd like to get to shake your hand, and I'll look forward to doing that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up to the last of the breaks here in this radio show today. But next, if you've got money burning in your pocket, there's a man who can talk to you about how to put it out, but put it to good cause. He's the firefighter realtor. His name is Phil Ramos. He joins us because he has a belief in America, and in particular, ladies and gentlemen, how to help veterans, first responders, law enforcement. If you're looking for a home, and that's everybody, we'll be right back here on the Call to Rights radio show with me, Steve Gates.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Gates.
And at 47 minutes after the hour, we want to say a big thank you to our friend, that is, Gene Ho. Gene will be getting together with you as you come here to the Valley of the Sun. But ladies and gentlemen, a personal note here. I'd like to talk a little bit about Shen Yun. That is Shen Yun 2020, 5,000 years of civilization reborn. This particular stage show, ladies and gentlemen, knocks it out of the park. I've been there many, many years and support them for many reasons. A life-changing experience, as many say, coming not only to Arizona, but just the Valley of the Sun, let's say Tucson. They're coming to the Orpheum Theater here in Phoenix and Mesa, from February 22nd through March the 15th. Based in the USA, Shen Yun presents authentic Chinese culture. How about this? Untainted by communism. And I mean that. This is a great show that everybody should see, even children. You can call and get tickets at 800-880-0188. That's 800-880-0188. Or go to shenyun.com/Arizona. 48 minutes after the hour, ladies and gentlemen, and we welcome a brand new sponsor to the Call to Rights radio show. No stranger to me. This is a gentleman that I actually went to school with, and we go back. Geez, we're kind of old guys here, but Phil Ramos, he's a realtor with EXP Realty, and he is literally the firefighter realtor. But Phil, first of all, let me say thank you to you and a hearty welcome to you at this radio show and talk a little bit about each other. We know each other for so long.
Thank you.
Catholic high school, remember
that?
Thank you for having me.
Paramus Catholic, Paramus, New Jersey.
Wow. So, Phil, let's talk about you, of course, the center of attention here in this interview. Firefighter, describe this to us. I mean, we hear about firefighters and first responders, but your association being one, you have an interesting story to share.
Yeah, I actually spent the first couple of years after high school, after getting out of the Air Force, in the corporate world, in sales,
yes.
And got into firefighting late in life, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done, Steve. I always tell everybody, if I had known how rewarding it was, I would have done it right out of high school.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really incredible what all those first responders do, and we couldn't do anything without them, really. So,
Phil, that's amazing, and I salute your service and military service also. But this is interesting. You were sharing this, and I know this is a little bit emotional, and believe me, it sure the hell is, because not only if we're fellow New Yorkers or New Jersey people, but all the people in this country, the severe and horrible attacks that this country endured on September 11th of 2001. Tell us your story, if you don't mind. I mean, it's probably painful, but you were there at Ground Zero. Talk about it.
Yeah, I actually had been a firefighter at that point for about 6 or 7 years, and was a member of, had some specific skills that I thought would be useful to help up there at Ground Zero. I was also on the technical rescue task force, so I had some experience in searching for survivors and different things like that. So I went up on my own without being sanctioned by my fire department. And
that's amazing,
because
Phil.
You know, I grew up in North Jersey. I had a lot of relatives in New York, been to New York many times, and it was just very personal to me. And went up there and got up there about 5 o'clock in the morning on September 12th and did the registration thing. They bussed us in about 2 blocks before. And, I tell you, Steve, before, the big thing that I really remember is that the air was sort of sparkling, and really didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
You know, we were there just a couple of hours, and, you know, we find out that it's all that asbestos and concrete dust and all that other stuff
Phil,
was happening out there.
You're walking into the belly of the beast, and honestly, man, I hope your health is okay, and God bless all those, because we realize so many of the firefighters that were lost in the building itself, and we go back a long way. I mean, I tell this, but I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about myself here, seriously. I had a job, my first job out of high school and college was to be a messenger, like at a bank, and I used to go to the World Trade Center every day, and good God, I mean, I can't imagine what you saw there. But Phil, God bless you, and thank you for your service. I hope your health is fine, and all the people that did that. But let's talk about something you transitioned to, from that into this, the firefighter realtor. You obviously live here in the Valley of the Sun. I need not remind people, and especially maybe we remind some of the people that are watching on Facebook Live, the intensity of real estate here in this valley. Describe it. It's just incredible, right?
Yeah, it is. I was just actually doing an open house yesterday in Gold Canyon.
Wow.
And, it's pretty much
beautiful
pretty
place.
Far from here.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely beautiful in the
up by the Superstition Mountain.
Right, by the Superstition Mountains, and beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
Priced right. The house next door to him, priced about the same, said was gone in 3 days.
That's incredible.
Cash.
Wow.
So, you know, anyone out there, if you're looking at a home, I tell you, one of the most important things to do in this market is to be pre-approved. The pre-approval process is going to be the most beneficial to you, because now when you go to a seller, they already know that you're not fooling around, that you're not a looky-loo. Mm-hmm. You're looking for a house.
You're not just out for a Sunday ride.
Right. So they'll take your offer from your realtor. They'll take your offer more important, a lot more seriously than if you didn't have a pre-approval. And even pre-approval is actually more important than just getting pre-qualified. Okay.
Good point.
With a pre-approval, you actually have a lender you're working with, and they've run your credit reports and all that kind of stuff, and all you're looking for is a house at that point. Pre-qualified,
but the intensity, for people who are watching, let's say on Facebook Live, and they may say, well, what the heck? Real estate not only is hot around this country, of course, but Phil, right here, you're right. I mean, I've talked to friends of mine that were looking at houses in a matter of hours once these homes went on, and they obviously just disappeared. So the point is getting yourself approved ahead of time is important.
Right.
But I want to concentrate on this, ladies and gentlemen, in the limited time that we have. Not only are you trying to help everyone, which is a great goal, but the emphasis here, ladies and gentlemen, particularly to the Call to Rights audience, military, police, first responders, hey, take advantage of that GI Bill that you have, right? You're a person who understands how to move and maneuver through the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Tell the people what you'll be able to do for that. It's
really simple. Well, you know, most, every veteran should know that doesn't need any money down to get a home. And that's the big thing. That's mm-hmm. the huge advantage
right.
that vets get for that. And, you know, and I know veterans, people in the military, first responders, police, you know, a lot of those folks have, you know, the side gigs. You know, I've known a lot of police officers and firefighters that had construction mm-hmm. jobs and
Absolutely.
Different things like that.
Gotta make ends meet.
Yeah. And the only reason they do that is because they're not making enough money.
You bet.
So I know the challenges of what it is to be a firefighter. I have lots of police officers that are friends back east.
You talk the language, right? You speak their language.
I know what their, right. what their struggles are mm-hmm. and what their worries are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I align myself with other, lenders who are either, you know, veterans themselves, but they specifically give discounts mm-hmm. to veterans, first responders, like I do.
Good.
I give a commission discount to veterans and first responders.
It's not all about the money. It's about helping people. And I think, Phil,
right.
seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love you for that and for many other reasons. But I just want to give this out. It's EXP Realty. And folks, this is serious now. This is something that I'm promoting, and I'm giving him an endorsement, not just because I know the guy, but it doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't hurt to know someone. The number's 480-253-0679. That's 480-253-0679. Or go to his website, justsoldbyphil.com. Justsoldbyphil.com. Phil, carry it on, because you don't need me to do any introduction here. You know how to handle this. So this is great. I mean, you can't wait. If you want to buy something, you're saying, summarize, get approved. Get it all set up that you're ready to go.
Right.
Because at the velocity of which money is moving now, there's no tomorrow, maybe, or no the next
yeah,
day. It goes.
And it's not just houses that are in that, you know, 250 to 400,000 mm-hmm. range. I have a team of 40-plus agents that we work with here in the Valley. And I had an agent 2 weeks ago who sold the home, $1.4 million. It was gone in 4 days, had 3 offers, and all of them were cash.
That's incredible.
It's the market is absolutely crazy.
And we see so many people coming from California.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Again, I'm not going to get political on
right.
that. The point is, if your home in California is a little shack by the railroad track and it's worth $1.5 million, can you imagine what kind of, when they look at
here.
Pricing here,
right.
to those folks who are cash rich momentarily,
right.
they look at a house for $600,000 and they've gotten their money out of it. Not only can they buy a new car, they can also take a trip around the world and maybe hopefully put and invest the rest of that money. But the point is, it's going fast. Phil, it looks like there's no more land to build on in the Valley, it almost seems, right?
Well, you know, the market is getting so good, actually, quite a few new home builders are buying up land in the Valley.
Sure.
So new homes are starting to come, I guess, online.
Can you help somebody if they want to just purchase land, too? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
That, okay,
yeah,
I mean,
we can
you're
do
the
everything.
Expert.
Sure.
So once again, let's say a resounding welcome to Phil Ramos, friend of mine from high school. We grew up together. He, of course, his specialty is that's why they call him the firefighter realtor. Spent a lot of his life in that service of our cities and our people and in the military. EXP Realty, Phil Ramos, he's their realtor with EXP Realty, among other realtors there. The number 480-253-0679. That's 480-253-0679. Let's go to our friend Dennis in Illinois. Dennis, jumping in here just before the show ends. What say you about what's going on here? And boy, isn't it amazing what's going on with real estate here in Arizona? How about that?
Oh, you bet. I'm ready to move back.
Well, give Phil a call.
Maybe someone can help me.
Yeah,
I think we know just who. So, Dennis, any other commentary you want to make here? We got less than five milliseconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, everybody support the programming. It's excellent, and I look for a very positive future for the Call to Rights.
Well, thank you, my friend. That's very nice. Dennis in Illinois. Dennis, of course, with the American Party of America. He's running as a third-party candidate, and boy, is he running. Very interesting. I want to thank our producer, LJ. I want to thank all of our special guests. Hal Markovitz with Presidents, of course, painting the White House, talking about that. Gene Ho, President Trump's photographer, and our friend, the sponsor of this radio show. Give him a call, Phil Ramos with EXP Realty at justsoldbyphil.com. Next week, we'll be live at the Crossroads of the West Gun Show. Jeff Cerdy fills in live with us, and he does the show for me, filling in on Second Amendment issues. What about that big SB bill about banning so-called assault weapons? We'll talk all about that, and he will talk all about that in great detail. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. We'll continue here, moving through time and space, with the show that you tell us you like so much, the Call to Rights radio show with me, Steve Katz. Have a great February 16, 2020.